Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Taking the Pulse on Today's Energies. Today, we're going to be talking about peace, compassion, and humanity. It's a very difficult time these days. We're here on a Sunday, the end of March, in the year 2020, and there's so much going on around us. Many people are hurting. They're in pain. They're finding that they have a virus that may take their life or end their life on this earth. Others are finding that they're being isolated, and it's very scary to be separated. Others are saying, my loved ones are dying alone, and I'm not with them. And it's truly shaking the hearts and the souls to the core. Are we ready for such shaking of our heart and soul? Can we feel it vibrating? Do we spend our days and our nights endlessly wondering and asking questions? What is this life all about? Where are we going? Why is life showing me this? Dear God, are you on a sabbatical? Can you please come back? Many people are wondering, are they being left alone by their God, the God they pray to, their source energy, or that which is allowing us to see with our eyes, feel with the heart and soul, to the core, and knowing what this is all about. Today, I have two guests with me, David Waddell and Luis Gonzalez. Both are inspirational authors, have written a lot about their journey through religion, finding God, being able to minister to souls. And they will be sharing many of their stories. They will also be sharing words of inspiration. And we are also here to be able to ask the questions. What is this going on, and what is it all about? David and Luis, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you, Dr. Jen.
Great, thanks. Yes, and thank you, Dr. Jen. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you. I chose to have you both on here today because, David, you speak so much. You're from the Deep South, just as I, and we are able to see that sometimes religion is a church. Sometimes it's the book that you hold on Sunday, but we all connect to a very same God in our heart and soul. And David, we can also see that we don't have so many boundaries or barriers. We just feel and enjoy the love of each other. Yes?
Very much so. It has become enriched in what's called the Southern culture to just care and watch for each other.
I think no matter what, we see it that we could almost walk up to anyone. You know, a lot of times, you know, after Hurricane Katrina, people would say they would move here or they would say things, and they were trying to put their views on us. Yet we were really a very open, you know, area here, and we were trying to show them something. How can you be unconditionally loving to each other? How can you support each other? How can your last piece of bread be broken into four? We all know that here. I think sometimes, don't you think, David, at this time, many people are starting to learn, uh-oh, something's going on?
Yes, and in fact, what I'm seeing is that last piece of bread is not being divided into four, but I'm hoarding it. I've seen people walk out of stores with 20 packs of toilet paper, of all things, mm-hmm. that becomes the crisis to us. But you almost sense in a crisis mode, everyone's on their own. It's every man for himself kind of thing. And so in some senses, I'm seeing less compassion and a little bit more selfishness.
Yeah, I think we are now coming at the pinnacle peak of fear. We are coming to, we've weathered all those things before. We're good to go. And then we see fear. It's not something that we can get out of the way of. In other words, storms would come along, deaths to our family, something we would end up in our work or our business, or we would have storms and we would move to another location. Now we're seeing it on a global basis, and we say there is no escape from fear.
Yeah.
Now we are being broken into pieces, don't you think?
Yes, and that's the danger of fear, and of course the fear is caused, this is a brand new thing to us. We, you know, we've read about the Spanish flu and we've read about the H1N1, but we're living this one. And,
right.
You know, they tell me not to get in crowds of 10 or more or to stay at home. And no matter what you do to be safe, it creates this sense of fear. Just a silly thing about it, I have allergies, and of course, my car is yellow now, and it's generally silver, but it's yellow now because of southern pollen. Well, when I sniffle or cough, usually people would just say, well, you have an allergy, and now I'm almost becoming an outcast like a leper in Jesus' day because of the fear of what a cough or a sneeze does to others. And,
you know,
and
what,
it's
I
all
think
fear.
That's so vitally important, what you just said, in Jesus' day. Because if you look at it, and I think you both can agree, is that what's happening right now, and I've even looked it up. I live in New Orleans, and they talk about, we saw it, you know, last week, they were talking about abating the rats here. Because now that the people are staying at home, the restaurants and things aren't open, so the rats are kind of like going free in the city. They're even in the daytime coming out and meeting up in the middle of the streets. And they took a great deal of time to sequester the homeless or those who live on the streets into hotels for their safety. And we look at it, is that a compassionate story? What they're really doing is they're putting them in there so that they don't get the bubonic plague or something dangerous from the rats. So in essence, are we looking at self-preservation of humanity as it is? Or are we saying this is now another century where we are having another crisis? If you look back, bubonic plague was at the turn of the century. Yellow fever, turn of the century. All of these other things, TB, the high rise at the turn of the century. All of these other things were right at the turns of the centuries, like in the first 20 years or so. And what is it also, too, a time where we said, are you going to learn? And we said, well, we learned, and then we went on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So are we having another time where we are saying, are the rats showing us again? We're replaying history to loosen up all of those old, dense feelings inside of us once and for all. And I'm not sure we're getting the message. What do you think, David?
I'm not sure we're getting the message either. I will say this about humanity. We are slow learners. You know, you get a ticket for speeding, and it doesn't necessarily stop the speeding. We just try to get more creative in things. And I had not thought about the fact that all of these plagues and disasters happened within the first 20 years of the change of a century. But it's almost like history is saying, are you going to learn the lesson this time?
Right.
And
right.
What are we going to do for the next 80 years? What will my grandchildren learn from this? Will it prepare them better for those that hit the 22nd century?
Right. You know, Lewis, I think you and I had spoken several months ago, and I had said to you something about, we are learning now, since you live in San Francisco, and we had spoken about the homeless on the streets. I said, I think now that we are learning about mercy, are we learning about humanity, and what are we going to do? Are we looking and keep walking? Are we looking in disgust? Or are we looking for compassion and making social and humanity change? And I said that, several months ago, and look at where we are on this doorstep today, right, Lewis?
Yes, that's correct. You know, the homeless are suffering incredibly right now, But I think that people are rising up. There is, as you mentioned, as David mentioned, you know, fear is very paralyzing, and fear is causing people to panic, and fear is causing people to be selfish. But we do have some good news, and that good news is that God gives us his peace. If we ask for that peace, he'll give us a peace which surpasses and transcends all understanding, and that's going to guard your heart. It's going to keep you stable. And that's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And I need to share something with you. You know, my company has completely, I've had 99% of all our clients reschedule and cancel. We're kind of almost out of business now until this pandemic is over. And the counties in the Bay Area have issued orders, county orders to shelter in place, not to go anywhere. But I have something to say. And as I began to pray over this pandemic and over the homeless and over our community, this amazing peace has come upon me that, you know what, even through this, we're going to be okay. Now, I think that a lot of these natural disasters and pandemics and things that come up are, as you mentioned, they're here to kind of to help us, to humble us, to help us to love one another. I mean, we're to be merciful just as our Heavenly Creator is merciful. And I'm noticing that despite the selfishness, despite the fear, despite the hoarding of toilet paper and things like that, I'm seeing people in our communities actually come together.
Yes. You know, here in New Orleans, there is a very little PPE. What PPE is personal protection equipment for the medical staff. And they are pretty much waging a war on the hospitals here because we are almost at the top of the country in our cases and deaths. And I think the idea is that there's a lot of finger-pointing. Who did it? Who caused this? It's almost as if, going back to what David and Lewis, what you both have said, is that it almost feels as if we are back in Jesus' time and there's a finger-pointing. Do you remember that finger-pointing? You know? And it almost feels as if we are sensing that finger-pointing coming out and we're just standing here, the three of us, trying to hold light, hold peace, and just watching. I think that's something that a lot of people are saying, well, I don't engage in it. Well, you can't deny it. You have to feel it and know it. But then when you get to the other side, you just observe it. Don't you think, Lewis?
Yes. I mean, people are definitely pointing fingers. People are getting restless. They're afraid. But you know what? I want, and people are feeling isolated and they're feeling alone. And so they're starting to be aggressive. They're starting to, you know, accuse one another. But I want to say something to you. And I want our listeners to know something that, you know, being alone, that's an illusion because God is always with us. You know, in the book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, God clearly says, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, even in this pandemic, even in this lack, even in this need. Guess what? He's going to show up mighty and he's going to show up strong. What we need to do is not look at the circumstance and look at him. Yes, we need to listen to the health officials. Yes, we need to wash our hands and perhaps wear a mask and take those precautions to shelter in place. But in the end, we can rest in him knowing that it's all going to turn out okay for us. We just need to activate our faith and trust in him.
Right. I think it is true.
When something you talked about, the finger pointing in Jesus' day, and it made me think of the time that the man that was born blind approached Jesus about being healed, and the disciples asked him, is this man blind because of his sins or his parents' sins? In other words, someone has to be at fault here. And Jesus said, no, he's blind because God has a chance to glorify himself and bring a community together. And I think in some ways, you know, I'm not going to go to the level that some people have and say this is the wrath of God because of certain sins. I'm going to say this is just something that happens in life, and it is a way of pulling communities together, teaching mercy, teaching compassion, and as Jesus said, bringing glory to God. I think we've been given a great opportunity, and rather than worrying about how someone didn't do something quick enough or was late in doing something or that someone else in another political party would have done it differently. Let's just look at it and say, you know, me, Dave Waddell, as an individual, I have a chance to touch a life somehow. And I think if we look at this in a light of how can I serve humanity, it gets away from the finger pointing and puts it back to where I actually learned something from this experience.
And I agree wholeheartedly with what David just said. You know, this is a learning tool for everyone. This is an opportunity for us to grow and to come together. And we're going to be better in the end. You know, we've become a society that's cold, that's callous. We have hearts of stone. Everyone is turning more towards selfishness. You know, you don't have people coming out for dinners anymore like in the old days. Everyone's focused on their technology in their hand, and they become isolated. But I think God is waking us up, and he's not necessarily punishing us. He's just bringing us together. He's saying, hey, listen, there's more to life than this isolation, this new wave of technology that's consumed us. We need to get back to basics and come together as a family, as a you know, in unity. And I think that's one of the things that God is showing us through this experience.
You know, I look at the experience that we're having now and we say, well, when are we going to be able to get back to normal, they always are putting out there? When are we going to be able to get back to how things used to be, or we're going to make them bigger and stronger and better next time? And I think I even posted, I said, are we going to come out of this with a great tan, our houses all cleaned up and everything in order, ready to fight the fight to get to back to how we were? Or perhaps, are we going to learn how to rise above and say, there is no normal anymore. I'm not getting back to anything. And I wish to create a new world. God give me the strength, the courage, and the vision to do so. Yes?
Yes. I've heard from some families already, Dr. Jeanette, that have said they've had more meals at home with their entire family in 2 weeks than they did the previous 2 or 3 years. Because our normal used to be run to practice, run to church, run to school, run here, run there. And all of a sudden now, it's almost like we're back in the 1950s. And people are eating at home, and they're eating together, and they're conversing with one another. So, yeah, the good can come out of this. I agree wholeheartedly with you.
You know, I'd like to add to that my father used to always tell me, and it was true in my life, that this too shall pass, and it will. Mm-hmm. And you know, one thing I've learned with God is that when you go into a wilderness experience, a time of testing, you just need to sit tight, rest in him, and ride out the storm. We're going to come out okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to rise, as you said, Dr. Jeanette, we're going to rise above this. And it's going to take a little courage on our part. It's going to take a little faith. It's going to take a little prayer. It's going to take some patience and some perseverance, but we're going to come out strong in the end. And we're going to be better for it.
You know, what I really like to encourage everyone to do is in the daytime say, dear God, how can I serve today? Before you put your feet to the floor, close your eyes and just say your own silent prayer. And also, too, at night when you're getting ready to go to sleep, say, dear God, please in my sleep, please allow me to help others and walk the souls to you. I think we forget that we truly are spirit forms, we truly are souls that are lightened and enlightened, and that we are able to help walk souls through to God. We can do that in our sleep. We do it in the daytime when we comfort the dead. We do it in the daytime when we comfort those who are very ill. We do it in the daytime when we see someone that just is just in such great distress, we just touch them with our hands. So I think the idea is, let's try to start doing this 24 hours a day. Let's keep ourselves working. Say, God, use me in the daytime. Show me the path. And then at nighttime, show me the path. Let's walk some souls home. Because there's so many people right now that are exiting the planet. Yes? Your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
But it's
a conscious decision as well.
Yes.
And as we do that consciously, it becomes habitual. So even when the crisis is over, During the daytime, we are looking for ways to serve. In the nighttime, we're helping and guiding people through prayers and thoughts to find the light. And so, that, again, in agreement with you.
You know, I'd like to add that, you know, exactly how you both put it, how can I serve today? You know, in Luke chapter 6, verse 36, God says to be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful to us. And, you know, our mission is to love one another. You know, in John 13, verse 34, he says that a new command I give to you is to love one another, as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And when we're when we have that spirit of love, then we can love people unconditionally. You know, it's, I think a lot of it has to do with getting your heart right, so then you can have that servant's heart to just be a blessing to everyone in your community, the homeless, you know, everyone, family members, strangers, and neighbors. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Neighbors have been reaching out to us. Is there something you need? And we've been saying to them, is there something can we get? Can we pick up for you? And so we're seeing a little bit of more of that now as this more, you know, this pandemic has created that atmosphere where people can open their hearts now.
Right. Absolutely. You know, well, David, I wanted to share this, that, you know, I kind of missed, and you would understand this, and maybe Lewis also, is that, you know, the great Southern churches, you know, you go by them or you go into them. And the music, it just powers out. It's almost as if they've created this energy vortex and this energy being that it just want. I mean, when you go by, you just feel it. It emanates from the church. And we so miss that. And I think I was going to ask David and Lewis to sing, but, hey, I'm so off tune. My daughter said, oh, my gosh, just go somewhere else.
Dr. So Jeanette, that would actually kill your radio show.
I know. But I think the idea is that if we can find some church music, you know, on YouTube, or find it on your computer, or find it on your phone, or find it from your local church, or find someone to bring some of that spiritual music to you, I think that truly starts to open your heart. It's like little keys. You'll feel it because all of a sudden you'll feel really warm. You'll feel like you need to lay down and listen to the music. You will feel like you need to open up and cry. You will feel like you need to just, I can't catch my breath. And what we say is just breathe in the sound, breathe in the message, breathe in the energy of God speaking through this music. I think if we could put on headphones, you know, and just walk around with this, you know, and it will really shift your energy. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I read it, but you need to feel it. You can't read it and just, you know, let it go. We need to feel it. We need to have it driven into our core. And I think when we're able to do that, we can hear someone reading on YouTube a Bible, or and you'll hear the music behind it. How can we bring that into our core? Isn't that what we're needing right now?
It really is. Go ahead, Lewis.
No, go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say many churches are doing an online presence. The last two Sundays, I've worshipped on Facebook Live with my church, and they're putting the words to the song on the screen so that I can sing along with it. And now my dog has made some funny looks on her face when I start singing, but it's a beautiful thing. And I even noted in my third book on the Worship Wars. The king of Judah, when he was pulling people back into service with God, he made sure to bring in musicians.
Yes.
Because there is a powerful spiritual message that comes through music that oftentimes is not felt in the spoken words. Spoken words are heard, music is felt. And Dr. Jeanette, you've hit on something really good, and whether it's a CD, an MP3, a vinyl record, pumping your spirit full of positive, good music is going to be another way of getting through this.
Yes.
Yeah. And I would just like to add that when you praise and worship God in song or in dance, it's going to uplift your spirit. You know, when you're feeling down and discouraged, that's a good time to, as you said, to pop in that CD and to listen to some music that will invigorate you, music that will uplift you, music that will motivate you and give you hope, a sense of hope. And so definitely something that, you know, we don't need to wait to a Saturday or Sunday to do it. You can do that every morning. I even do it in the shower sometimes when I'm getting ready for my day. And it just, you know, what it does is it elevates your spiritual level, your energy level. You become more vibrant. So I encourage everybody to spend a few minutes each day. Begin your day, as Dr. Jeanette says, you should really begin your day with a praise and worship song, and that's just going to put you in the right frame of mind to begin your day. And you'll see that your day runs a lot smoother because you're already feeling better.
Yeah.
Let me throw in, too, that if you don't know all the words, just make them up.
Yeah.
It's still a form of worship. There have been many times I've been two lines into a song and realized I don't remember where the rest of it goes, and I just improvise. And because what you're doing when you do that is you're actually singing from your heart. You're not just giving words back to God. You're expressing your own view. So if you get stuck, and sometimes even if you just go num, 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 you're still communicating your heart to God.
Right, because I think sometimes we take the words verbatim, what they are, either in a gospel, a song, a praise, or even in music, and we start to feel the emotions of the words in the song. We don't want to keep going back to pain and suffering. We want to feel something open up and uplift. So just what you said, David and Lewis, is that, you know, sometimes we need to exit the words. Sometimes we need to just hear the vibration. Sometimes we just need to know. You know, it's almost like cross your hands over your heart and just feel it. You know, it's almost like, can you dance or sway with it? I think dancing and swaying with music, we don't need to know the words all the time because we don't want to repeat history. We don't want to keep going back to the pain all the time. In other words, do we need to continue to excavate pain and suffering out of our lineage, our history, our heart? We're truly trying to transform that pain and suffering, transform our heart and soul, and really transcend it all versus continuing to be into the same space. Yes?
Yes, I would say it this way. We can't forget the pain.
Correct.
The old adage of time heals all wounds, time really doesn't heal the wound. It just puts distance between the wound. So forgetting the pain is pretty much a human impossibility, but learning from the pain and recognizing where you are beyond the pain, I think is helpful. And in this time, I could say this, people are in a situation where they are losing loved ones, and this coronavirus is killing people. And I'm fortunate that no one I know has contracted it yet. I may be unique in this country. Maybe I don't know enough people, but no one that I know of has contracted it yet. But yet, I have a son that works as a chaplain in an assisted living center in Montana, and they are dealing with this daily because of the age range of people he's working with. And so those people will have lost their loved one. The pain of that loss will continue with them. But as you said, transcend from that into the memories of that person.
Right.
Remember the gig. Remember the experiences you had with them. That puts that distance between the pain and the day that I believe you'll see them again.
Mm-hmm. Lewis?
Yeah, I'd just like to add that, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of love and power. And of a sound mind. And you can call upon God during these uncertain times when you're afraid of someone who was lost. You know, I got a text last night from my neighbor who lives next door, and she told me that her aunt in London just died from the coronavirus. You know, and I said I would say a prayer for her and her family. So, you know, everybody's being touched by this. I want you to know that even in all this fear, even in all this loss, you know, you can still have that peace which transcends and surpasses all understanding. God gives you that peace. It comes in, it touches you, it really touches your heart. That's what it did for me. and it continues to do this. And I, right now, even in the midst of this chaos and this confusion, I am resting in God. I'm not worried that my business just went bankrupt. I'm really not. I'm not worried that I won't have enough to pay the rent. Now, these are real fears, but I'm resting and trusting that I know that God is going to make a way. I want to share something with you. It just happened, and it only happened after I prayed. You know, my wife was, and I'll make it very quick, my wife was real nervous because all our clients canceled us, so how are we going to pay the bills?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we may be able to get through a couple months, but what happens after that? Well, so I said, let's pray about it. And so I held her hands, and we prayed that God would supernaturally help us to touch people and to help us to meet our financial obligations. You know, we have tax payments every month. We have all kinds of things to pay. And guess what happened? You're not going to believe this. Several clients, about a half a dozen more clients, sent me a text and said, listen, we know we don't want you to go out of business. Now, I didn't reach out to any of these clients. They said, we don't want you to go out of business, and we want to make sure that your girls have enough money so they can get groceries and gas and pay their bills and their rent. Would it be okay if we send you a check every single week or every couple of weeks as if you worked? And when this pandemic lifts, then you can come back. But I want to pay you for, and then you just make sure that everyone gets the payment. And so that was a blessing. So we've already had 6 or 7 clients already send us money. And that's helping us to give the girls what they need and helping us what we need. So in this time, reach out to God. Pray to him. Ask him whatever it is your request is. You know, in Philippians 4, verse 6, it says to make your request known to God. And then he will take care of that need for you. But you need to knock. So that door is open. You need to ask so that you would receive.
I think it's also important, too, you know, we don't have months. You know, we live in New Orleans. We've been doing pretty much paycheck to paycheck. And, yes, it's the first is this week, and there is that fear. However, we continue to keep getting up every day to do the best we can. And we notice that, you know, we will just be okay. And I think with that perseverance or what do they call it, resiliency or whatever you want to call it. You can put whatever label you want on it. I remember after Hurricane Katrina, we had no AC. We had lost things and with no AC, no place to go, no place and nothing. It was an extreme loss. And right now, I think the idea is that we can be thankful we have a roof over our head today. Might not tomorrow, but we have one today. And I have AC today. I have some food in the refrigerator for today. I might not have it tomorrow, but then I'll have to see what God shows me for tomorrow. Because truly, we are living day to day. I think the idea of are we planning and hoarding and holding on to things and trying to create the future based upon the history of the past and then the ways and saying, I'm not going to have loss. I'm not going to have starvation. I'm not going to have pain and suffering. I'm going to prevent it by these steps. And then something comes along that you can't prevent, like massive deaths across the earth. You know, you can't prevent them. You can't fix them. Doctors are finding out they can't save them. There are no heroes here. The only heroes here is going to be God. So each day when I get up, that's the best I can do. They say, you know, people have asked me, what are you doing today? It's like, all I can do today is just pray for today because I don't know about tomorrow. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'll still be here. I'm not sure what will happen. And I think being standing in that ultimate space of the unknown is definitely scary for many, yes?
I think of my grandmother, my dad's mom, who was lived through the Depression, and I remember visiting her, and her basement was full of canned goods, some that she had canned and some that were just, you know, like store-bought things.
Right.
And the cans were old enough that it had rust on the top of the cans. And when she was shopping, she would buy a new can of peas for dinner, but she had 75 cans of peas down on a counter. And her thought was, I went hungry in the Depression. I will never go hungry again. Now, when she and Grandpa passed, they had to get rid of all that food because she never touched it. And what she learned from the Depression was how to never be hungry again. But what she didn't realize that she learned in the Depression was how she lived one day at a time. She had a can of peas, and they ate that day. And then they worried about the next day on the next day. And I think that this virus is teaching us, despite the hoarding that may be taking place, you know, if you have a stack of meat in your freezer and the freezer goes out, you don't have a stack of meat. You're still living day by day, even if you hoarded stuff. And so I think there's some value out of this for us.
And there's nothing, and just to add to what you've both said, there's nothing wrong with planning for tomorrow, doing the best you can. But Dr. Jeanette, you hit it right on the nail. You know, in Matthew 6, verse 34, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And, you know, we need to focus on just getting through the day, you know, and don't let that fear, that panic, that worry about tomorrow come to you. You just be thankful what you have today. You mentioned Dr. Jeanette, you know, I have a roof over my head today. I have food today. I have my family here. You know, I have my loved ones here. So we just need to be thankful for each day and take it day by day. And you're going to see that God is going to see us through this, you know, and we're going to come out all right, you know, but don't let that anxiety creep in, and don't, exactly as the scripture says in Matthew 6, you don't need to worry about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Let's also hit on that for a second, guys, because I think that that's very important, because some people will say, yes, I get up with the best of intentions. Yes, I get up and I pray to God, and I really do trust and love in the Lord, and I know that everything will be well. It'll be okay. But what do you do when you falter? What do you do when you feel it? What do you do when all of a sudden, you know, when you go to the kitchen and, there's just one box of spaghetti and I've got five or six kids to feed, you know, that kind of idea. And the answer is do it with love, do it with compassion. You know, I can look back at my own life and I can remember so many times I was a single parent, four kids, going to school, going to work, and there was only one box of spaghetti, but it might have been the only thing that I had at all. Or a box of powdered soup, and I would put, you know, carrots and celery in it, and, you know, I always knew how to dress something up at the best I could to feed everyone. And we always think about we're doing the best we can. So I think that if something falters today and you need to feel the pain or the suffering or the crying, you can feel that and then say at the end of it, I now release it to God. I now release it. That's it. Mm-hmm. And then just take a breath, hold on to your heart and soul and just say, I release. I release pain and suffering. I release all my trials. I release. This is not mine to carry. The collective of pain and suffering. I'm doing the best I can. Sometimes we want to take on other people's pain and suffering, and we can't carry much more than our own. Don't you think sometimes we say that too is a part of our human existence?
Yes. God has been taking care. Yes, God has been taking care of millions of people for thousands of years. And he's not going to quit with us right now. You know, I like what you said, Dr. Jeanette. In these times of testing and these times of trial, you know, we make the best of the situation. I think we've all been there when we're looking at the refrigerator in our closets, and guess what? There's just not enough food. So what do? We improvise, and we make a meal on what we have. We've all been there, and we know how to do that, and we're going to do that now. And guess what? We're gonna come out okay. This is going to be a time that's going to challenge us. But it's going to change us, and it's going to make us, you know, better people. And we need to not only reach out to others, but as you mentioned, just have an attitude of gratitude right now and make the best of it. And we're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. It's all going to come out okay in the end. This is going to pass soon.
Peter reminded some people in one of his letters to cast your cares upon God. Now, I'm going to give some advice to our listeners, because I'm guilty of this as crazy. But when you give your cares and concerns to God, when you release that to Him, don't take it back. There's so many times that I'll say, I don't know where the answer to this lies, and so, God, it's in your hands. And then a couple of minutes later, I'll go, okay, now, God, have you thought about this? And I'll start trying to figure out a way to fix it myself. And so if I'm truly going to throw it on God's hands, I have to let go of it and not snatch it back.
Yeah. David, do you carry around a big purse of worries?
I carry around a what?
A big purse of worries.
Yes, I do. It, in fact, I've expanded it to several backpacks.
You know, and I think that to understand that, phew, yeah, I do that. Isn't that, that's so like, it almost like wants to pop your eyes wide open, you know? It's sort of like, wow, I'm not going to take a backpack with me today. I'm not going to carry a big purse anymore. I'm not going to think about everything that I have to do before we set the next foot in front of the other. Don't you think when you can say that, poof, can I let that go, your eyes pop wide open?
They do, and you learn in that sense what you can do without. You know, that you didn't need that backpack full of worry, that life is actually freer. You can see the colors in the flowers. You can smell the fresh breeze. Our minds tend to focus on one thing at a time, and if worry and fear is consuming my thoughts, I'm sure not giggling at something my grandkids said. And so it is a complete surrender.
Yes. Yeah.
And it really is a complete surrender. You know, when we worry, we waste energy. That's what we do. And mm-hmm. and I just have to concur with what David just said, that, you know, in Peter verse 5, verse 7, it says to cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't carry worry with me about nothing. I mean, stuff happens to me. Don't get me wrong. I get stuff in the mail that I don't like to see sometimes. Maybe it's an unexpected bill. Maybe it's a letter from the IRS or the Franchise Tax Board. I don't like those things. But I don't worry. I don't care what these letters say. I don't care what happens. I don't carry that burden with me. I really do cast it and that burden, and I put that problem. I visualize putting that problem into God's hands. And you know what? That's complete trust. And that's what David just said. That's complete surrender. And when you do that, you walk in love. Guess what? You don't walk in that fear anymore. So part of the challenge is to learn to do this and to practice this daily. Yes, we have to be responsible. Yes, we have to be accountable. Take care of your bills. You know, pay the things that your PG&E bill on time and your electricity and utilities, but do what you can. But in the end, stuff that's outside of your control, cast that care upon him, for he cares for you. He's going to work it out. He's going to resolve it. And you're gonna sleep better. You're not going to have anxiety. You're not going to have depression. These things are going to work themselves out when you cast your care upon him, just as David mentioned.
How about the idea is that, you know, I had said something to someone one day, and they said, you know, Jeanette, one day you're going to have to come back to reality. You're going to have to come back into the world, you know, that we're living in, you know, and you're going to have to figure out how to do things. And I said, please don't cast your reality on mine. And they said, you live in the clouds. You live in the clouds. You have all this other stuff. And I said, do not cast your reality on mine. Let's talk about that conflict when one member of the family, one member of the workplace, one member of the congregation, one member of someone you may just run into, one may be in the place I am, and one may be in the other place with the other reality. How do we navigate that relationship, so to speak? And surely I think the answer is not to try to yank them over to your side and say, come on, come on, come on. You have to see it this way. Or the other to say, oh, but don't you see, this is mine. In other words, vested interest has no place here. truly what has a place here is that we observe and respect each other for where they are. All we can do is shine our light. We can't turn around and say, hey, I'm the 7-Eleven light, and you get this is where you're going to be saved, you know? I mean, it's a little bit tougher, I think, sometimes when we see this split, don't you think?
It's the energy that is put out. I've often said enthusiasm is caught, not taught. A positive spirit is contagious. And I cannot argue or discuss someone into my reality or in my view of positivity or compliance with the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the way that I react to things or to openly discuss someone, if someone comes in with negativity or a fear and I can convey, wow, I sense your pain. I hate that you're going through this. This is where I am. And it becomes an open, I'm not judging or condescending on them because they're going through this,
right.
But instead I'm lifting them or showing them where I am. I got tickled in some studies for my teaching for leadership. I read that corporations, when they set up their break rooms, they set up tables for four people or less because they know that negativity spreads like wildfire. And so they figure if one employee is negative, all they can do is influence two or three others, but they can't influence an entire room of people.
Mm-hmm.
And negativity and fear has that kind of contagiousness. I love teaching at Ole Miss more than anything I've done for a living and for a career, and yet someone can say something about their health care or their retirement program or the hours or paying for parking, and all of a sudden, kabam, my mind is in a dark place and I hate this place. And it's so weird. So I think the thing to do is to recognize the fear or the negativity that someone has. And if they share with me that I'm living in a cloud, what they're sharing with me is that there's pain in their cloud.
Yes, yes. Yep.
So I need to listen to that pain and not ignore that pain, but to recognize also I'm not moving from my cloud. I like my cloud. It's very comfortable on this cloud.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Lewis?
That was a long answer to your short question, by the way.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Well, it was a good answer. Well, you know, what people fail to remember and to realize sometimes is that we are not only physical beings, but we are spiritual beings as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we live in the real world, yes. And, yes, we need to make practical decisions, and we need to be responsible, and we got to take care of things. But the Bible is real clear, and God is real clear, that we are to focus our attention on spiritual things as well. Now, if they want to call it being in the clouds, that's fine with them. But in all reality, you know, God wants us to focus on things that really matter, our spiritual growth, our spiritual awakening, because that nourishes the soul. That makes us love people. That helps us to care for others and to reach out to others. Now, if you're spiritually dead, then, you know, you're going to have a hard time showing a random act of kindness. So if this person wants to call you in the clouds, that's perfectly fine. But you know what? You're doing what God has asked you to do, what he wants us to do, is to think of the things that are above, not just the things that are in this physical world, because we are spiritual beings as well.
Right. You know, I think it's so interesting because so many times I'll say to them, oh, get out of the way. I just need to fluff my wings, you know. And I'm sure David, Grandma David, come on, laugh, because I'd love to hear you laugh. You know, I think we need to
I was trying to keep it off air, but that is good.
Yes, but you know what? I think, don't you both think, we must use our wings. We must, I could take the word must. It is time to be seen. It is time to unpack our wings out of those backpacks you carry around, David, or with a Lewis, to be able to say, all is well, and we're all here. We're still going to make it through. But I think, I got up out of bed the other day, and, man, I had this crazy dream. I said, what's up with this? I was sleeping, and I felt like, okay, now, this is just my side as I see things way different. But I almost felt like my body was like, it had like this flutter underneath me when I was sleeping. I got up, and I said, oh, my wings were trying to get activated. They needed more room, so it was time to wake up. So I think the idea is say, how can we bring light into this moment? Because if you truly, truly look at it, I saw something posted on Twitter today. It said, longing for normality. What if today, let's talk about this in closing, what if today, in this moment, this is our new reality? What if there is no normal anymore? This is our normal today. In this moment, what would you do about it? What would you change? What would you be thankful for? I look at it and I say, I truly don't see how my day has changed that much today from several weeks ago. Okay, I might not go out as much, but it hasn't changed that much. And if today is our new normal, what are we going to do with it? David?
I'd like to add that, change, the only thing that's constant is change,
Mm-hmm.
And, if we haven't learned the lessons when everything was normal, then this new reality is what we're going to need. I'm not saying that we need to go through a pandemic, every quarter. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if this is what it's going to take for people to learn to respect each other and care for each other and extend hands of, an open heart towards people, then I think life is going to throw curveballs at us. And mm-hmm. it's going to challenge us to become the people that we were really meant to be, And so, this new reality, I feel it's going to pass. But I think there's a message for all of us. There's 199 countries that have been affected. The count right now is close to 702,000 affected cases worldwide. Every single state in the union has been affected, and there's lost ones everywhere. And so there's a message here. And, where to search for what that message is. And I think that I think a lot of that message has to do with what you mentioned in the beginning, Dr. Jeanette and David, about showing compassion and showing
right.
love and being patient and showing understanding, I like to close by just emphasizing that God wants us to be merciful and loving towards one another. He says that in chapter Luke. Just as he is mm-hmm. merciful and loving to us. And this is one of the things we need to learn through this pandemic.
I'm going to say this about the new normal. Most of my friends would say that my normal was abnormal to begin with. this may
yeah.
be the new normal, but I'll tell you what, we adapt to it. I'll miss
yeah.
some things. I'm a
yeah.
people person. I'm going nuts. I had a friend that called me a couple of days ago, and he said, I'm reaching out to my extroverted friends because I know this is tougher on them than anyone else.
Yeah.
I'm playing it smart. I'm not getting in large crowds, but I'd love for anything if we could get people 6 feet apart in a stadium. I'd love to go in and tell a few jokes or I won't sing. That will empty the stadium. But this is the new normal, we adapt. We figure it out.
Yes.
And I had a friend that set up a Zoom conference call with me and two other friends yesterday because he knew we needed to connect. If that's the connection I get with humanity in this new normal, then
mm-hmm.
I adapt to it. And when I think about just in the years that I've been around, the internet is still new. Cell phones are still new.
Right.
I hate to say this. I remember when we didn't have a television in our house. And
I do too.
So things have come about and we adapted to them. And so if this becomes the new normal, I'm going to say that the spirit of humanity and the way that God has created us, we'll figure it out. And so I live in hope. I hate with a passion what's going on, but I also have this hope that we will overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we will. Amen.
Yes. You know, I think it's also, too, I can remember distinctly, I had very vivid dreams after Hurricane Katrina when we were here. And we had stayed for the storm, and we were still in an apartment, and the water was coming up and everything, and I can distinctly remember it, is that I saw a vision, is that there were angels in white, and they had all of their wings. They were fully expanded, their wings. And they formed a link all around the Gulf Coast. And I saw myself walk up and join that line. And I think that's truly what we are saying today for both of us, all of us, to be able to do that, is get those wings out, unpack those suckers, start standing in your light, and join the line. Because if we truly, you know, we see a lot of prayer circles these days, we're praying for this, we're praying to stop that, we're praying to fix this. We aren't praying for that. What we're truly praying for is just to beam light of unconditional love. So if we can maybe just see ourselves as unpacked wings, line up around the earth, and just hold hands. That's what they were doing. They were all lined up. It was a continuous line all around. And I think it didn't stop the next storm that came right after Katrina. We had one, you know, within 30 days of that, another one.
Yeah.
And it didn't stop it. It didn't change the circumstances. But I still had that power of heart. And I think if you have power of heart and soul, and you can say, if I'm in this world and I'm a human being today, okay, this is what I'll do. But we also understand that as we are eternal, we will be the ones coming up to do it the next time too as that same angel. So I think to understand that through our loss and our suffering and our pain, this too shall change, this too shall be, this change will also arise, but it is also eternal. And to think of the word and just to say, unpack those wings, people, let's go, you know, get them up, you know, start every day, breathe in, cross your hands over your heart and say, I'm unfolding my wings. Outstretch your arms and connect to the next angel. If we did that for just 10 seconds, I think a few times a day, we might start knowing that all will be well, because sometimes it's hard to remember that, yes?
I agree. Yeah.
Well, I think it's been such an inspirational time today. I think sometimes people will say, I'm not here, I'm not there. But what we share today is many different perspectives, because we don't want to force our perspective on anyone. We want to share our perspectives, what we see, and we were all different, and that was just the gift we were giving to everyone today. David, can you please share with the listeners how to find out more information about your books and your work?
Yes, I can. If they will go to www.davidwaddell.biz, and it's two D's and two L's in Waddell, and they will have links to books as well as different blog articles that I have written. I like to look at the funny side of things, so you'll probably get a little bit of a laughter, but also a pointed message out of it. And Dr. Jeanette, thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Oh, you're so welcome. David, we have to say this before you we close the show. Tell us about the taco thing. Come on. You always talk about going for the food around the churches.
I grew up Southern Baptist, and, of course, we didn't know that it was an actual worship experience if someone didn't bring baked beans and fried chicken. And so I missed that. Last Sunday, when our church first went online, I made a comment on the Facebook Live that I was eating a donut and sipping coffee so that things could be as normal as possible. And my church social media coordinator wrote, "We're glad that you're attempting to be normal now." So,
you know,
we'll make it.
Absolutely. And Lewis, can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work?
Sure. You can go to my publisher, which is Westbow Press, and you can find the book Walking in the Power of the Almighty Creator there by Luisa Gonzalez. You can also find it on Amazon Books and at your local Barnes & Noble bookstore. So that's a couple ways to get hold of the book.
Very good. Well, it was such a pleasure to have you both with us because I think it's so vitally important to be able to share our hearts and our souls. We, too, have not been untouched. We, too, feel pain and suffering. We, too, feel unconditional love. And please, please, please find a heart or a wing wherever you can. When you look at your food, say, oh, are there any hearts in here? I had some microgreens the other day and there was a heart. I had a piece of spaghetti and, oh, let's make a heart on my dish. Try to bring it in. You know, I think we need to soak it in. We need to feel it on every level of our existence, and that is so vitally important. So thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette.
Thanks for having me.
If you'd like to find out more information about David Waddell, Lewis Gonzalez, or to have a session with me for guided soul support, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information. It truly is about being able to say it is going to be okay. If you are scared, if you are feeling you have struggles, check out some of David's books or Lewis's book. And it's truly about being able to say, ah, if you need a laugh, try David. David's got a good laugh. If you're really looking for some spiritual guidance, Lewis's books are also wonderful. But truly, it's about saying if we weren't meant to sit in our pain and suffering in silence. It's about reaching out because therein you will find God and Almighty Source in another. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to have you with us here. Please join us again in 2 weeks or we'll have another live show. Thank you so much.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.